take a couple minutes and tell me your story, tell me your arrival, tell me what happened.
So basically there was some stuff going on at home. I was getting really stressed out over it. We start work on Monday. So we do contract work. So we have some time off during the summers and all that stuff. So, just before we were to go back, my boyfriend's like, "Hey, let's go somewhere." And, we originally looked at going to, Switzerland. And I was like, we can't go to Switzerland for just 7 days. So let's go somewhere a little closer and whatnot. So I was like, how about the Bahamas? Because he's traveled all over the place. I've traveled a bunch. We've never been to the Bahamas before. So we're like, sure, let's do that. So I found the Airbnb. It was actually the first one I clicked on. And then I looked at other ones, but I kept going back to that same one. And I was like, this is it. Like, this is kind of like perfect. It's secluded. It's not... like a condo, because the last time we stayed in a condo Airbnb, there was somebody doing construction and we're like, oh, let's not deal with that. So this was a very, like, it's a private residence. It was right on the water, had amazing reviews. So I was like, sure, let's do it. So we booked that, booked our flights and stuff like that, started looking around the area and things that we could have done and like, or could do. And we found some snorkeling places and like all the stuff, like everything was just all planned. And we got there and the host was I don't know really how to pronounce her name properly, but she was being pretty communicative, like even when booking and stuff like that. I asked some questions and she said that she had I think we were asking about mopeds, like scooters and stuff, because we like to rent scooters and go around the island instead of just using cars. And she was like, oh, I don't know about scooters. She's like, but we do have a car that you can rent, like on the premises. Like it's one of our cars. It's $50 a day. Like she was being really helpful. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. Yeah, let's do that. Because even when we looked at scooters, the scooters were like something like $200 a day. And it wasn't even for a full 24 hours. So we're like, okay, sure. Let's use that. So again, like really communicative. No alarm bells whatsoever. Things were fine. We get to the residence because we originally landed a little bit earlier and their check-in time was 1 o'clock. We ended up waiting so long going through customs at the airport. So we ended up getting there just after one anyways. So that was no problem. But I had asked her, I was like, hey, we're a little bit early. Is it okay if we come in earlier? And then she's like, yeah, not a problem. So again, like I said, nice person, all that stuff. And so we get to the Airbnb. We took a taxi there from the airport and went in with our bags and everything like that. They met us out front. The husband, Jan, he was sitting there cleaning the car that we were going to be. She had a baby on her hip and a little, I don't know how old the daughter was, either 5 to 7, probably around 5 years old or something. And they took us into the Airbnb. It looked great. Like it was spacious. It was clean. The only thing was it kind of had like a little funky odor to it. But I mean, you're in like a hot country and there's like ACs running and dribbling. So I'm sure that there was probably some sort of moisture stench or whatever. But other than that, everything was great. Like we looked around, we were really excited to be there, really happy to be there. And so we were just in our element. And the host was telling us places, because we asked, we're like, oh, we need to go get groceries because you know, we're staying there for a week, we don't have anything, we've been traveling all day, now we're kind of hungry. So we're like, we'll go get something to eat and pick up groceries. So she's like, oh, there's this place right here. It's really good for groceries and it's in a plaza. So if you want to get alcohol or anything, you can go here as well. Like it's all within the same, section. So we didn't have to travel far. So that's what we did. We asked them, we're like, oh, okay, can we go? And she's like, yeah, the car's basically ready. And, the only thing that was weird was, I mean, it wasn't really weird. They gave us, the wrong key for the car. So we're like trying to start the car. My boyfriend's like, oh no, is there a trick to do this? And it was just, they ended up giving the wrong key for the car. So we got the right key. And she did say, she's like, I hope you don't steal the car. And we're like, what? No, why? We would never do that. And she's like, oh, because the last guests, or we've had guests before, steal the car on us. And I was like, that's crazy. And I just thought, I was like, I good on you for, you know, trusting people again in that aspect. But yeah, so we're still, we've kind of concluded now that maybe there was another guest and that had to get out of there and they just zipped on out. But either way, that's speculation on our end. But yeah, so we did our shopping. We went for lunch, came back to the Airbnb, was just kind of relaxing. And then we're like, oh, we kind of want to see what the beach looks like. So we asked her, we're like, okay, how do we get to the beach? So she's showing us along, and her husband is now by this monstrous fire pit, and he's like burning, he's trying to burn metal. Like,
are they staying at a nearby place at this point, or do they?
No, they're on it. They're on the property. So the way that the property works, it's quite a big property in a sense. They have their main house, and then there's this little cottage that we stayed on, just like closer towards the road, and their main house is closer towards the beach.
So same property. Okay. And, so he was burning metal. Continue from there. Sorry.
Yeah. And that fire pit is in between the main house and our cottage. So we were like, oh, this stinks or whatever. Cause he's burning. Like when we walked past, we're looking and we could see that there's like pots and pans and like corrugated metal. Like it was just, I'm just like, I said to him, like, I don't know if that's going to burn. And we just kept walking. He's like, oh, you know, you got to watch out. The CIA, they're watching. They're, you know, you just got to be careful. And we're like, oh boy. And I should state with while we were at the airport and we were trying to Google Maps, trying to figure out where we were going, because my Waze map wasn't showing, like it wasn't working properly when I was putting in the address. So when we put in the address into Google Maps, all of a sudden, Google Maps is showing that there's like a magic mushroom farm. And I'm like, holy shit, I think it's our hosts. Like, so we ended up looking into it, and they run I can't even say the word, the magic mushroom retreat. So we're like, okay. So then when we now realized, like, well, so yeah, so as we're walking past or whatever, and he makes this remark about the CIA and stuff, and we kind of like, you know, well, me and my boyfriend kind of look at each other, and we continue walking, and we ended up seeing the beach, and I was just like, oh no, maybe he's just like taking too much of his own supply. Like that's what we assumed. Like, we're just like, okay, he's just kind of tripping. And that's about it, because he wasn't being aggressive. He was just acting odd. Like, we didn't feel threatened at this point. So then we just took a look at the beach and everything. We're like, okay, this is awesome. And it was starting to get overcasted, so you could tell that a storm was coming in. So we're like, okay, we'll head back to the Airbnb, you know, get all the groceries put away, make something to eat for dinner, and I don't know, just hang out. So that's what we did. We hung out or whatever, and then played a game of cards. We didn't really see the hosts at all for the rest of that time frame, because we just kind of stayed in our bubble of our Airbnb. So we just hung out there, had an early night, fell asleep, woke up the next day, made breakfast, and made plans to just go to the beach. So this is now August 7th. So this is the Wednesday. So that's what we did. We grabbed a bag, got our speakers, our towels, ended up heading down to the beach. And then we were just kind of enjoying everything. And then the husband, Jan, comes down, and he's got this mason jar and it's full of water. And he's like, oh, well, if you rub this on your legs, it'll make the bugs go away. Because my boyfriend did ask, like, how bad is the sand fleas? And then they just said, oh, it's usually at like dusk and dawn. That's the worst time for them. So he was kind of a little concerned with the sand fleas. So we thought, oh, okay. So I thought maybe the wife, I talked to Jan and said, oh, okay, maybe give them your special recipe for, you know, the sand fleas to the bugs. So he comes down and we're like, oh, like what's in it? And he's saying that there's like two silver coins, batteries and copper wire mixed in, and it's like put into the sun and it like oxidizes, or I don't know, does something kind of crazy. And we're like, oh, okay. And we're like just smiling at him, trying to appease him, putting it on our ankles and stuff. We're like, oh, thank you so much, Dan. We appreciate you. And you know, he leaves. Me and my boyfriend are like, okay, not using any more of this. So we kind of dipped out the mason jar to make it look like that we used it. And then about like 20 minutes later, he comes back down and he's got weights, like 15 or 20 pound weights, like just little hand weights. And he starts telling my boyfriend that he needs to work out because, you know, he's got a beer belly and he needs a healthier living, and, you know, he doesn't want to get sick and, you know, have all the toxins in him, and, you know, working out is good. It's good for your life and all that stuff. And we're just like, oh my God, like it was rude, but he was also in the same sense. It was rude, but it was just, I don't feel like he was doing it in a rude way. Like I felt like in his mind, like he was really just trying to be helpful. So we just kind of like, again, appeased him. We're like, oh, okay. And then like, he ended up going away again. And then another 20 or 30 minutes or so, he came back again. And this time he had like medication, like it was like antibiotics. He was saying that it was clarithromycin. And he's like, yes, yes. He's like, yes, you know, North America is smart. They make so much of this and we need it, that we need it for the whole entire world. And you need to take one pill every day for 100 days to get the poisons out. And we're like, okay. And then so like he gives us a pill and he's like almost like forcing, but very heavily like, yes, take now. Like, and we're just like, oh, okay. So we kind of like do the one thing where you kind of like put it by your mouth and then like it falls. So he thinks that we took it and he's like, oh yes, yes, yes. And we're like, okay, thanks, Jan. Yeah. We do medications too. So it's fine. And da, 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 like hoping that he's not going to try and get us to swallow something else, or I don't know. It was a really weird situation. So like me and my boyfriend are kind of giving us like looks at each other, like talking silently to each other, saying like, okay, once he goes away, let's scurry down the beach. So hopefully he doesn't come bug us anymore. And so that's basically what happened. So he ended up leaving. I think we stayed for about another few more minutes. And I wonder if his wife told him to like leave us alone because, you know, she didn't want a bad rating or anything. So that basically happened. And like, because the beach is like long, but you can kind of see everything from the public beach down to the military base along their beachfront because it's all private. We ended up doing that, and then we were like, okay, let's go back home, because this time it's now like, I don't know, I think around like 3 o'clock or 3:30 or something like that. And we're like, okay, let's go back to the Airbnb, let's go make something to eat, have a siesta, and we'll just kind of chill out there. So as we're walking back up, we run into Jan again, and he's like, oh, come in. And to be polite, because again, this is our first full day. We still have 6 days with this person and we don't want to offend him and make things awkward, right? So we're like, okay. So we go in and they had this tripod dog, which was pretty cute. And I started talking to Alik, the wife, about the dog. And my boyfriend was talking to Jan. And this is, we're just inside the house, we're not fully inside the house. We're just on like the outskirts, like, cause it was a sliding glass door. So we're literally just inside the house right by the sliding glass door. And Jan's computer is off to the left and he's showing Brent this stuff on his computer. And Brent said that he pulled up some article about like Iran and Israel going to war. And my boyfriend's just like, I don't know, I don't think it will happen. There's a lot of countries in between, not being, you know, invested, not, he's not indifferent or anything into it. Just, I don't know, just kind of stating logical facts. And he snapped. He lost it. He was screamed. He pushed my boyfriend. We don't know if he pushed him or punched him because he got quite the, well, or he had quite the bruise on the side, and he like pushed him out the door. He ended up dropping my wine glass. So I kind of snapped to it, like when I realized what happened, and I just thought, oh, maybe he tripped or something and dropped the wine glass. So I'm picking up the wine glass, and Jan's now screaming, get out of my house, get out of my house. We're like, okay. And I was like, screw the glass now. Like I was trying to pick up as much as possible. Cause again, they have two small children. And then a worker came to the door, at the front door. And all I remember seeing, because it's everything's a little bit hazy, all I remember seeing is the worker come in. He had his hands up, like in like a defensive pose, like where he's showing both of his palms, like to say, like, I don't have anything on me. And he's trying to defuse the situation. And all I remember seeing is Jan swipe the sword and
Before you continue, because this is where it'll get, I want to make sure I'm accurate. So a worker, an employee of theirs, like somebody yes. that works on the property, or is it like yes. a contract worker?
Yeah. No, he works on the property. He works on the property. So he would help with, because they were trying to make like a gardening, like a fruit trees and stuff like that. And so he would do like odd tasks and like he would help them out where he could.
Was there multiple cottages? Like, did they have several?
Yes. Yeah. So there was two other rentals on the property. So there was my rental and then there was another rental.
Okay. Okay. So then this worker is trying to calm things down. By the sounds of it, yes. or by your interaction with this other individual, had he visualized previous hostile interactions before?
Do you mean the worker?
Yeah.
He said that he could see him progressively getting worse. Like he would be talking about demons and stuff like that. And he had like bumps on him and he was trying to like self-medicate. And I guess that was what the clostridium was for or something like that. And that he didn't think it would ever get to that.
So, obviously what happens, from this point after he pushed your partner, Brent?
So from that point, again, I'm picking up glass, because I don't want the kids to like step on it or whatever. And I thought maybe he just, you know, spilly fingers. And so, and then when he pulls out the sword, and then that's when came to the door, and the door's open and I'm watching and like a defensive stance, like just not descent, like defense, like just, you know, like showing he has nothing on him and his hands are up in the air. And Jan sliced at him and he cut his hand, like right in between like his pointer finger and his thumb downwards towards his wrist, like in a semicircle motion. So like he could have taken his thumb almost clean off. All of a sudden I kind of went into a bit of shock there. So I kind of just stood there holding glass and, then started running towards us and my boyfriend's like, we got to get out of here. So we run out the back door. Realistically, what we should have done was ran towards the beach, but we didn't. I don't know why we weren't thinking. And, we ended up going to the side of the house to go to the front of the house towards the road. My boyfriend was like, we got to get our stuff. And I was like, screw stuff. Let's get the hell out of here. There's crazy man with a sword. And Jan went through the front door and cut us off. So me and my boyfriend went one way and another way and had a bike. And he's just like, let me just, we bolted for the road afterwards. We're like, okay, we're all just running together. Like, we assumed we'd just meet up in the road. And when we turned around, was like spurting blood out of his left arm. And said he was trying to calm Janik down again, but not really. He was trying to get his bike and to leave. And previously, I guess Jan had said that the bike was a demon and it needed to be burned. And so was like, I'm just going to get this demon off of your property. Therefore, you're not around it. We'll dispose of it. It'll be fine. And the whole time he's facing him because he doesn't want to put his backboards on. So then when he said that was fine and he's got the bike with his one good arm or whatever, because his other one's bleeding. And something like he also advanced on him and swiped and then kind of took a couple steps back. And then that's when he dropped the bike and said, and then ran towards the road. And then that's when we met up with him. And then my boyfriend took off his belt and then tied it around his arm to make a tourniquet because he was losing copious amounts of blood. We ended up stopping a couple people. So there was a van with two Bohemian ladies in it. So we asked them to call 911. They were sweet. They did so. And then there was a work truck with actually somebody from Montreal that was in there and he stopped. And so we were all just kind of like, because we're now like we went further down, like a couple houses down. There was like an island and we were on there and we're trying to get Richard stable and just like he's doing a great job. He's keeping himself calm, which was I'm blown away that he was able to do this. But he said that he used to be in the war and it was part of his training. So I was like, OK, well, they did a good job and you learned really well. And but yeah, so he's kind of in and out of consciousness. The police and the ambulance are taking way too long. The whole time too, we're asking people to like look behind us while we tend to, because the last thing we want is Jan to come up behind us with this freaking like sword and start hacking it again. So we decide to say screw it because he's losing way too much blood. He's going like super pale at this point. His lips are going a bit gray. So we decide to jump in the person from Montreal, his pickup truck. So we jump in the back of his pickup truck and we go to the military base that's just down the road because they have military, like they have medical care and stuff. So we did that. And yeah, they got a stretcher on it and he was there. So they took care of him there. At that point, I lost it. I was bawling my eyes out. I was a giant mess. And I looked like Carrie because I was just covered from head to toe in blood. And they had like military showers. So I went into their shower just fully clothed and just washed off because I just, the amount of blood that was on me was insane. And so once we were done for that, we went back out. We were talking to the military police or the police. I don't know if I think the police got there at that time. I don't think it was just the military police. It's a bit blurry. I do remember speaking with police officers and just saying that all of our belongings are there, like our passports, all of our clothing, our money, everything. Everything is in that cottage. And we can't go back there like unattended. Like we need help. So they're like, not a problem. We'll take you. Or like the person from Montreal, I don't want to mention his name because I haven't mentioned it at all, but he's like, you guys can come with us. And we're like, yeah, we'll do that. So we went with him. And from there we went back. The wife was in our Airbnb. She had a sledgehammer. She was refusing us entry to get our belongings and we didn't know where Jan was. So the cops, there was only two cops with us at this point. They went into the house and we were kind of hanging back by near the end of the driveway. And all we heard was a gunshot. We're like, oh boy, well, I guess that's done. And my boyfriend started to walk towards the house. And me and the Montreal guy from Montreal were kind of hanging back, and he had work shovels in his hand in his truck, so we kind of pulled out the work shovels just in case because we didn't know where he was. And sure enough, Jan came up the driveway behind us, and then started chasing us around the truck with the sword. At one point, I ended up tripping over a cinder block and like hurtling on my back and thinking, oh God, this is it. This is how I die. With like a shovel hanging in front of me, because I was like, if he comes, I'm going to take something off. And, but I guess he somehow got distracted. Jan got distracted and either went towards my boyfriend or whatever, but I don't know. It happened really, really fast. And then all of a sudden, the cops came out from the house, and then there was more cops that came up from the driveway. And then that's when I started to record, because I was like, no one's going to believe this. Like, literally no one is going to believe this. So that's when I started to record. So I did send you the recording of that. So they were trying to detain him. He was resisting arrest, and his wife was going crazy at the same time. She ended up taking the sword off the ground. And I don't know what she planned to do. I don't know if she was going to use it, give it to her husband. And then she started to attack the police. Like, she started to throw punches and throw like whip her purse at them. And then I'm sure if you've seen the video and heard it, you can hear me screeching, which I apologize for your eardrums, by the way. So I was like, she was rooting around in her purse. So, and I don't know Bohemian law, whether or not they have guns or not. So I was worried that there could have been a gun in there and that she was going to use it. So I was yelling to rip the purse away to get it off of her, which ended up did afterwards. But then it was given right back to her again. So it was weird. But yeah, she wasn't arrested. According to the police, that they have like, I think it was 30 or 60 days to arrest somebody. So, but they said that they were going to.
Who shot the gun?
I don't know.
Who discharged the round?
I don't know. It was one of the cops.
Okay.
So, I still don't know, because we asked afterwards, because I was like, oh no, maybe they shot a dog. And because of after everything, they had him detained. We were able to get our belongings and whatever after she calmed down, because I was trying to calm down their eldest daughter, because she's now watching her mom beat on cops and with her baby sister in her arms, her dad's being detained and acting like a total lunatic. And like, she's just freaking out. Like, the poor girl was shaking. So I was asking her like, how high can you count? Like, what's your favorite color? Like, trying to get her mind off of everything. And
so you had said at one point, what do you think would have happened if it wasn't there?
That's a good question.
I think we would have died. I don't think I'd be here to give this statement. I honestly don't think we'd be here to give the statement.
The second question for you is, you said he's a free man right now. He's not incarcerated.
Yeah, he's on bail. They granted him bail. They released him.
What's he charged with?
Tuesday. Sorry?
What's he charged with?
I don't know. I have no idea what they charged him with.
Have you guys been interacting with the police down there?
We did. We made statements and everything, and we did ask for a copy of our statements, and they said it's against their policy.
Is your intention with this interview to kind of sound the alarm to get the information to both Airbnb and to other people to just be aware of these individuals? Obviously, yes. Your story is quite something.
Yeah, it's more so Airbnb has taken it off their listings pending their investigation. I don't think they're dumb enough to relist them again. But I reached out to Vrbo. Vrbo, I sent them pictures and stuff and told them they're still up there. Vrbo is not listened. People are at danger by renting this place, and it's still on other platforms. So I'm just, if no one else is going to listen, maybe I'm looking to get out there just for the safety of other people, because he's released. He's mentally unwell. She's mentally unwell. And they're still being able to rent this out.
Last question. I've got 30 seconds left, and I know it's not enough, but what has it done to you guys? How are you guys doing right now?
I'm on Ativan. I can't wait for work, because I just want the routine, but it's really messed me up.